It's a blessing to be here with you this morning. And as we think about vulnerability with my spouse, I was blessed by the topic last night. And I had to think, you know, vulnerability with your spouse is a lot like vulnerability with our Heavenly Father. God wants us to express to Him our feelings, our thoughts, our emotions. But you know, there's, for us that are married, I believe there's someone that God has called into our life that wants to hear the same thing. They want to know exactly what's going on inside of my life, of your life. And that's what draws us together. But I'm also aware there is an enemy that is out to destroy that relationship. And he wants to pull us apart. Because our enemy hates what God has ordained and what God has made beautiful and what God has made right. You know, in Ephesians it talks about how that the church is compared to the bride and Christ is the man. And that kind of relationship. And in marriage, I believe it's the same way. We are made to be together and to connect. Imagine being able to share your deepest thoughts, vulnerabilities, and dreams, knowing you'll be met with understanding and support. That's the power of emotional safety. The more you love, the more vulnerable you become, as deep affection dismantles emotional defenses and increases the potential for both profound joy and pain. This vulnerability is not a weakness, but a courageous, essential component of true intimacy that allows for a deep connection. I believe with all my heart that God's ultimate desire is that my wife and I, your wife and yourself, or you all, can share the deepest feelings that are going on in your life and in your heart. I'm also aware that in marriage, often there's difficult things that we face in marriage. We were here some years ago, and for Saturday afternoon, our assignment was to go back to our rooms and talk about times in our life when we felt there was growth. And so we did that. And you know what we found? What do you think we found?
Hard times.
Exactly. Hard times is what draws us together. Recently, my wife and I experienced something that we weren't prepared for. And sometimes when those times come, you just need to. From my experience, I had to just communicate with God before I could even communicate with my wife. And I think God understands that. I believe that as we learn to communicate and become intimate with our Heavenly Father, it connects us with our spouse. And once I came through with my Heavenly Father and had a peace about the situation, is when we could talk and connect. And even through difficult times, we can connect. And we can make memories. And we can celebrate. I'd like to draw our attention to Genesis here. In Genesis 2:25, it says, "And after God had made man and woman, brought them together, gave them instructions, Adam looked at the woman that God had made, and he said, 'This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.'" And then the Bible says they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Now, I don't believe this verse is talking about physical nakedness necessarily. I think that's probably implied. But I think it's a total nakedness of my heart. I think that's what he's talking about. I am totally exposed to my spouse. And in that kind of relationship is what generates growth. Genesis 4:1, "And Adam knew his wife, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, 'I have gotten a man from the Lord.'" Adam knew his wife, and this word "knew" has the same idea. There was nothing hidden. It was exposed. Everything was out. It was for them. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. We are created in God's image. We heard last night how God wants a relationship with us, and a close relationship. That's how we are all designed. We are all wanting a close relationship with someone that we can put hands on, feel, touch, our five senses. And God has given us that. It's a tremendous gift. Vulnerability, emotional vulnerability, is about letting yourself be seen and known of who you truly are instead of how you might prefer to be perceived. It means being honest, open and honest about your feelings, thoughts, and needs, and vulnerable to the emotions and reactions of others. There's benefits of being vulnerable. Number one, it fosters intimacy. Sharing your true feelings and experiences helps create a safe space for both partners, leading to greater intimacy and understanding. Vulnerability fosters intimacy. And I'm sure you've probably heard and maybe even experienced it in your own life. When there's something between you and your spouse, it just does something to the relationship. Sometimes we have a hard time explaining it even. But it alters that relationship. And I believe God has designed marriage in such a close connection that it's hard to hide things from each other. It's for our benefit. Vulnerability fosters intimacy. It enhances communication. Openly discussing emotions reduces misunderstandings and promotes honest communication, which is vital for resolving conflicts. You know, we are going to have some conflicts at times in our marriage, but let's talk through them. Let's communicate. And let's talk it out. It builds trust. When partners are vulnerable with each other, it strengthens trust and reinforces the bond between them. Now, I believe God has given couples the gift of knowing each other in ways that sometimes it's hard for us to explain. It's difficult for us to lie to each other. Do you know what I'm talking about? Just outright lie. I know of couples that have done that. But there was something wrong in the relationship. And the other partner could feel there's a distance. And I think it's all designed by God in this way to help us, to keep us together. Let's be truthful. We need to build trust. And isn't it a blessing when we together as a couple have total confidence and can completely trust each other? In our world, society, we see a lot of this going on. Couples are together, but yet they have to watch their back. They don't know what's going to happen for sure. For most of us, and I hope for all of us here, we have nothing to worry about. But in a group this size, there may be some that struggle with this. I'm aware of that. But I don't believe that's God's intent. God's intent is that we have nothing to worry about. We trust each other. Benefits of vulnerability. Number four, it encourages growth. Vulnerability allows individuals to express their needs and desires, leading to personal and relational growth. Cultivating vulnerability. Number one, be present. Just be there. Be there. Be there for each other. Engage fully when your partner wants to talk. And make it safe that you can both express yourself. Practice open communication. Acknowledge fears. And as we go through life, there's sometimes we have fears in life, but acknowledge those to each other. And it seems in our relationship, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, see, God puts us together for a reason. Often opposites attract. And so if I'm down about something, often my wife is, oh, it's all right. And she encourages me. If she's down, I encourage her. And I think it should work that way. We're there for each other. But acknowledge the fears. They're real. We don't have to hide them. Get them out. That's what your spouse is for. To help strengthen us. And if you try to bury those fears, what happens to those fears? They grow. That's right. They grow. So why not stop them right away? Why not just talk about it? And maybe you're both struggling with a fear. Well, then what do you do with that? We heard last night. Together as a couple. Get on your knees and ask. Tell God. Tell God about your fears. And He can change that whole thing. Start small. Now I put this in here because I'm aware we have quite a few young married couples. And one of them said last night that they are looking forward to growing old together because so many of their old friends are saying, oh, it just gets better, and they're looking forward to this. Well, I'm telling you what, it does. And I'll be honest with you, in our relationship, we don't have to start with small stuff. But I know there was a time we did, as we were growing in our relationship, in our young married life. We had to start with small stuff. See, we all come from different backgrounds, and we put this together. And I think that's one of the greatest blessings when you grow old together. My wife and I have been married for 38 years, and it just seems like that's been basically all of our life. We've just been together. Excuse me. There's not a lot of baggage from our... Well, it's not always baggage. There's not a lot of things that stem back to our families that we have to work on anymore. We have established a family. We have children that have went out, and they're establishing their families. But in young married life, you have to deal with some of those things. You come from different backgrounds, and you have to put that together and make a home that is functional. Safety in marriage is so important. Safety is about so much more than physical safety. Now put these vows down here. Most of us have promised somewhat. This is probably not identical to what you have promised, but I think the meaning is there. I take you to be my partner in life and my one true love. I will cherish our friendship and I will love you today. I will love you tomorrow. I will love you forever. I will trust you and I will honor you. I will laugh with you and I will cry with you. I will love you faithfully through the best and the worst. I will love you through the difficult and the easy. What may come, I will always be there. As I have given you my hand to hold, so do I give you my life to keep. I forgot to pass these out. Did you guys pass these out for me? Thank you. Safety in marriage is very important. That we make a safe environment. Excuse me. I'd like to talk to you ladies just a little bit here. You know, us men are known to be, in our world system, we're supposed to be these macho men, that we're strong, where we have no fears, we can take the world. But that's not really how we are. We can get pretty terrified by our emotions. And let me give you an illustration. So when us men get together and we start talking, we don't really talk about what's deep down inside of us very quickly until we've connected for a while. Then this stuff starts coming out. We don't trust each other like women do. Women tend to just get together and they can just talk about their families and some concerns they have for their families, or they talk about their children, and they talk about things that really mean something to them. And so I bring this out just to encourage you ladies. Give your husband space. Give him time. Make an atmosphere that he feels relaxed. Because you really want to know what's inside of him. I know you do. But allow him to bring that out. But it's going to take some time. And make it safe. Make it safe. Emotional safety. Can I count on you? Are you there for me? Will you respond to me when I call? Do you matter? Do I matter to you? Am I valued and accepted by you? Do you need me and rely on me? Do you understand me? What time am I supposed to be done? 9:55. Okay. Thank you. Imagine being able to share your deepest thoughts, vulnerabilities, and dreams, knowing you'll be met with understanding and support. That's the power of emotional safety. Emotional safety in a relationship, or a safe relationship, is an understanding, no judgment, active listening, trust, openness, honesty, and vulnerability, eye contact, optimism, and positivity, connection, a gentle touch, no criticism, and compassion, and love, and then support. And I'm sure there's other ways, but there's a list of things that I think are important in a relationship. Sharing the depth of your feelings that are in your heart takes emotional risk and courage. This makes you feel exposed and vulnerable, but it's the very thing that will create closeness and connection in your marriage. By sharing what is in your heart with your spouse, you can achieve deeper intimacy. Isn't that what marriage is all about? That we share the deep things in our heart with each other. I believe that's what it's all about. We share what's going on in our life. And as we go through life, as we go through life together, there's different things that are... We all face different challenges. We all face different things. But let's remember, we are together as a couple. And let's share things together and make it safe. I read that slide, that's why I skipped it. Because I got to keep moving here. When you don't feel safe in a relationship, your focus will shift from connection to protection. Think about that. When you don't feel safe in a relationship, your focus will switch from connection to protection. And I think that's what our world is facing all around us. We see that. They're out to protect themselves. Now, I'm not saying there's not some good marriages. Mark, can you get me a water, please? I'm not saying there's not some good marriages out there, but I believe there's good marriages even in the world if they follow the principles that God has established in Scripture. If they don't follow those principles, it doesn't work. They're watching over their backs all the time, and they're protecting themselves. And when that is in a relationship, there will be no closeness. Protecting ourselves. Now, like I said earlier, sometimes when we come into the marriage union, we come with some baggage. I'd like to talk just a little bit about what happens when we protect ourselves. The wounded heart will protect itself. The fearful heart will tend to protect itself. And the exhausted heart. Now, I heard some of you last night talk a little bit about your dream is that life would slow down. And I can identify with you. But I'd like to challenge us just a bit with that. Who's in charge of slowing your life down? I did step on your toes too hard. I stepped on mine too, because I'm in charge. Really? You stop and think about it. We are in charge of slowing down our life. And you say, well, but this job is demanding. This is demanding on me. I'm aware. I'm as guilty as the rest of you are. I shouldn't tell you what we're doing after this. Maybe I should. I pray to God that we don't get an exhausted heart, but there's a possibility we may. Coming home from this Sunday night, and Monday morning we head to Arkansas for 3 weeks of teaching. And it was kind of, yeah, that wasn't planned in our schedule when we planned this schedule, but when you're on boards, sometimes you have to kind of fill in where you can, and that's kind of what happened. Excuse me. The wounded heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Then there's also a verse that in Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Moving from a wounded heart to a healthy heart is a three-step process. Now that sounds pretty simple. It's three steps and you got it. Well, I'm going to give you the three-step process, but I'm very much aware it's probably not that easy. But I think it's something that gives us some principles to work on. And I think number one is you must identify the wounds and the false messages. That's number one. Now, I'm aware it takes some time to process some of that, but I think that's a start. We have to identify the wounds and the false messages. And number two, we must replace the message with truth. What is actually truth? Often the wounded heart imagines false accusations, imagines false things like, I'm just not good enough, I can't do this, I don't have this gift, or I don't know, whatever excuse you want, you can probably put in there. But it's not true. If God has called you, He will equip you. You don't have to feel like I'm not good enough to do this, or I can't do this, or I can't, whatever causes your fear. God doesn't want us to live in fear. That's not His plan. We cry out to God and replace that message with truth. There was a time in my life when I felt like I was a failure. One day God spoke to me and He said, where does that message come from? I never made failures, and I didn't make you as a failure. Just because you made some mistakes, pick up, you're not a failure. And it was so strengthening to me to realize where that message came from. It comes from the pits of hell. It doesn't come from God. He's not sending messages out, you are a failure. Guess what? You messed up. You're a failure. That's not our God. He doesn't do that. Number three, you must nurture and care for your heart. How do you do that? Just what I told you. Lay it out to God. Let Him fix it. Let Him fix it. The fearful heart. Genesis 3:10, and He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. This is Adam talking. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. A haven is a trustworthy person to whom you can turn to, knowing that person will be emotionally available and will respond to you in a caring manner. First of all, I'd like for us to think about this verse here that I have here. Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, and they ran and they hid themselves because they were afraid. And God comes walking in the cool of the day. And I like this picture. God wasn't yelling at them saying, where are you? I saw what you did. He just walks in the cool of the day, says, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, I was afraid and I went and hid myself. Why was he afraid? Because of sin. And that often happens in our relationships as well. Because of sin, we're afraid. Focus on creating a safe environment. The fearful heart is often like these roly-poly sow bugs. They're silver and gray looking bugs, and when you touch them, They roll up in a ball. And sometimes that can happen in our relationships. When we have this fearful heart and our spouse touches us a little bit too close, we just kind of roll up in a ball and we get nowhere. And it's discouraging. We must take care of those things. We must recognize those things. When there is a resistance, work on it. Don't give up. Work on it. The exhausted heart. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I appreciate it what Japheth mentioned last night. You know, it takes an effort to draw close to God. It takes an effort to draw close to each other as well. It takes effort. This is another blessing of older life. My wife and I are together a lot by ourselves. And we love it. Gives us a lot of time to talk. But you're not all in that situation. Some of you are younger. Some of you have children. And some of you are young marrieds where you have lots of time. Use that time. But hopefully God blesses you with children, and that's going to change. And I think it's in those times that we need to take time. We dare not become exhausted with life. We need to stop and think about life. Overcommitment and exhaustion are the most insidious and pervasive marriage killers you will ever encounter as a couple. That's a pretty strong statement, but I believe it is true. I really do. The exhausted heart. We are moving at an ever-increasing speed toward who knows where and at a cost of who knows what. Well, actually, we do know some of the cost. Our relationship. Sometimes we need to just stop and take inventory. What is going on in our life? As life gets faster, busier, more frenzied, and more hectic, our marriage often suffer. We just don't have enough time for each other. And if we somehow carve out enough time, we don't have any energy left. I'd like to stop here just a little bit. You know, in the busyness of life, and I know of couples. And I don't have time for any stories, but I know of couples that this is exactly what has happened to them. In their married life, they have children, they get busy with life, the man gets busy with his job, the lady gets busy with the children, they put all their energies into the children, into the job, because they've got to make a living, and they forget each other. I think it's important that we as couples have and are intentional about spending some alone time, just the two of us. Because you know what? It doesn't take long when those little babies will be growing up and you're going to walk down the aisle and give those children to someone else. And all of a sudden, you're at home by yourself. And if you have not been building on that relationship up to this point, you're going to be living in misery. But if you've been building on that relationship, it is absolutely wonderful. It's another stage in life that we can enjoy to the fullest. I believe that with all my heart. God has designed it to work and to help us. And to be a blessing all of life. As we get older, it can get better. It really can. recharging the exhausted heart. Be still and know that I am God. Wait on the Lord, and he shall renew your strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't believe it's God's design that we are over exhausted. He wants us to rest, to be in rest, so that we can function properly. All humans have a God-designed need for meaningful connection and intimacy. Our hearts yearn to feel close to someone. But for that communication to occur, two people must be open and let the other in. God created us as complex beings. The most satisfying intimate connections occur when we experience each other with our whole being. Emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and physically. I believe that's God's design for marriage. That we're connected emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and physically. And in that, I believe God can be glorified in our relationship, and we can go out into the world, and the world can see there is something different about that couple. Someone has told me that you look, I don't know if I should, yes, I started it, so I'm going to say it. I think it's all right. Let me say it this way. If your wife, to you husbands, if your wife is beautiful at 25, you don't get a lot of credit. If she has a radiant face at 25, you don't get a lot of credit for that. That goes back to her parents. But if after you've lived with her for 25 years and there's a radiance coming from her face, you get a lot of credit for that. Someone has told me, you look at a woman's countenance and you can tell what's happening in their marriage. I just love to see radiant couples just shining. You can just see it. They love to be together. And isn't that what we want to show the world? We want the world to look on and see, hey, this is something real. These people are real. There's something about them. And they start asking questions. When my wife and I, over the years, our anniversary was always a special time for us. We just always celebrate over the anniversary. And we've had some wonderful opportunities. And especially now, I mean, that's another blessing of being married so long. Especially now, after 38 years. Hey, we're celebrating our 38th anniversary. People are like, wow. And it gives tremendous opportunities. You know, it works. God's way works. God bless you all as you keep shining for Jesus.